Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Ervin Daf Kuf Dalet. We are at the Mishnah, 6 lines from the top, and resuming our discussion regarding various Isuri Durabana, which were suspended in the Beis HaMikdash for the sake of the Karbonis, Ein Shavuz B'Mikdash. And the Mishnah will provide us with several examples of a Shavuz Durabana which was not applied in the Beis HaMikdash, as the Mishnah, number one, Boizkin Melech. They may go ahead and crush and spread salt Al Gabi Kevish throughout the ramp leading up to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach, B'Shul Shliach Liku, to avoid slippage due to the rainwater, due to grease or fat that was present there. So you can go ahead and spread the salt, and that's something which is unique to the Beis HaMikdash, and it was not allowed outside of the Beis HaMikdash, as will be explained in Al Gemara. So that's number one. This Shavuos was suspended in the Beis HaMikdash. Number two, Umimalin Miboyer HaGoyla. They can go ahead and draw water from this Boyer, this well, Boyer HaGoyla, which was in the Beis HaMikdash, or from the Umi Boir HaGadol, a different type of well, begalgal, using a wheel, a pulley system, which was generally not allowed on Shabbos. So when it comes to these wells, which were in the Beis HaMikdash, you can use a galgal b'Shabbos. And once again, we suspended the Shavuos Rabbanan, being that it's in the Beis HaMikdash. Boir HaGadol was a well which was present in a room in the Beis HaMikdash. Boir HaGadol was actually used for the sake of lowering the kiyor within it. The kiyor was the container which contained water placed in the Azara, and it would become possible if it remains overnight outside of the ground area. So it would have to be lowered within the ground, on the ground, be connected to the water below in order to avoid the water within the kiyor to become possible. So that was the point of the Boir HaGadol, and we can use a pulley system to lower that kiyor within it and draw water using the pulley system. There's no concern because we're speaking about the Beis HaMikdash. Concludes the Mishnah, Umibeir HaKar B'Yom Tov. Likewise, we can draw water using a galgal from a very specific well called the Be'er HaKar, which was actually a natural spring-fed well. And you can use a galgal to draw water from there, B'Yom Tov, specifically on Yom Tov, as the Gemara will explain for us. Continues the Gemara. Rami lei Rav Ika mi Pashrunya l'Rav. So Rav Ika from the town of Pashrunya asked Rav a question. Tanan, we just learned in our Mishnah, Boizkin melech al gabei kevish. You can spread salt over the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach, b'shvil shelo yachliku, to avoid slippage. B'migdash in. That's only because it's in the Beis HaMikdash. B'medina lei, but it can't be done outside the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Mishnah seems to be saying. For Amini, but we have a kash from a brisa which seems to allow even outside the Beis HaMikdash. Chatzish in a skalkel b'megishamim. If we have a courtyard which became muddied and full of puddles due to the influx of rainwater, maybe tevin, you can bring hay, you can bring straw, umaradiba, and spread it over the water to absorb it. Apparently, spreading material over the floor is mutter even outside the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, there's a difference between tevin and salt. Shani tevin de lo mevatale. Tevin is different because it's not something which he nullifies. It's not something which he intends on leaving on the ground. And since it's not bottle there, there's no concern of malacha, because the concern here would be perhaps he's going to be straightening out, smoothing out the uneven floor. But that's only if he's mevatale there. And therefore it results in a malacha of boina. But if he's not planning on leaving it there, plans on picking it up afterwards and feeding it to his animal, etc., then since it's not bottled, there's no malacha whatsoever involved. Therefore, there's no concern even outside the Beis HaMikdash. In contrast to salt, which becomes sullied and unsuitable for further use once it's traveled upon, so generally a person is just mevatel it there. Therefore, we're concerned that he is going to be mevatel it, and that results in a malacha of binyan because it becomes part of the ground surface, and since it's evening it out, he did a malach of boina. Therefore, since we're concerned about that possibility of bittel to the ground, Chacham disallowed that on account of a shvus, and that shvus applies outside the Beis HaMikdash, but not within it. Let's see Rashi inside. So off to the right, we drop down about 6 lines. So we have the Rashi beginning with the word Gemara. Mipashrunya, so this was Rav Ika Mipashrunya from this town, this Mokim, who asked the Kasha. In our Mishnah, we learned that we cannot spread salt outside the Beis HaMikdash, whereas the Brisa allows spreading the hay. Umiradaba Shetechba, you can go spread it out over the puddle to absorb water. The Gemara answer is that Tevin is different. Dulim Mavatali, Vuleka Mishma Shvi Gumis. So Malachahu Bishabas, Davik Binyan. There's no concern about a Shvi Gumis flattening out an uneven surface, which is considered a malach of bain. There's no concern why the midah the chazal machal behem oilatit hachaymos, because hay which is suitable for animal feed or to be used as an ingredient to produce mortar for construction, limavat leosim, he's not going to nullify it. Not going to leave it there. In contrast to salt, av a melach, misha nidras beregel, once it becomes trampled upon, lechaz it's no longer suitable. Umistamim avatle, we presume that he's being avatlet, and due to that possibility, we're concerned about that possibility, and therefore we never allow it. When Medina Asr, outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's Asr, is considered to be a Shavos. However, in the Beis HaMikdash itself, assuming he's not going to be mevatel it, there's no concern here. We don't apply a Shavos, and therefore you can even spread salt over the Kevesh in the Beis HaMikdash. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Rav Acha, Berei Derov Rav Ashi. So yes, Rav Ashi as follows. The Mishnah tells us you can spread salt in the Beis HaMikdash. Hai melech hechadami. What are we speaking about here with this salt spreading? Edom of Batli, if his intention is to nullify it, to leave it there for long term, so it becomes part of the ground surface, part of the building. Kam Maisa Abinyan, in which case he's adding a layer to the existing structure. He's enlarging the Beis HaMikdash, which one cannot do. The Beis HaMikdash is meant to present itself in a very specific way. It's meant to be designed very accurately the way Hashem instructed. Everything is written, everything is from Hashem, everything was presented to me by Hashem, the exact design of the Beis HaMikdash. So how can we go ahead and add to the structure of the Beis HaMikdash? So pouring salt in a manner where he's being mevatlet is actually increasing the size of the kevesh, which is part of the mizbech, which is part of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's difficult to understand. How is that allowed? Vida loikum mevatlet, and if he's not going to be mevatlet to the kevesh, fine. So he didn't add to the structure. So that concern doesn't apply. But there's another concern called havi chatzitza. Isn't it posing a barrier between the feet of the Kehanim, which are meant to have direct contact with the surface of the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, and the salt is coming in between. So either or, we have a kasha. If he's going to be a vatlet, then he's changing the configuration of the kevesh. If he's not going to be a vatlet, and it's considered to be a separate, independent entity, the salt that is, then isn't that creating a chatzitza? Says the Gemara, he wasn't a vatlet. Why is there no chatzitza concern? But lachasi varam lekevesh. We're speaking about spreading the salt for the sake of the Kehanim, or transporting the parts of the Karbonis over to the ramp. The Lav Avoidahi, which is not considered to be part and parcel of the Avoidah, the Makter, the Ivarim on the Mizbech, is, but bringing them to the Kevesh is not. It's different than transporting the Dam, which is a Avoidah of Hilacha, because the Dam of the Karbon is really the integral Kapur. It's the most vital and crucial part of the carbon, the dam. But when it comes to the portions of the actual animal, that's not so crucial. And transporting them is not really considered to be integrally an avoidah. Therefore, chatzitza doesn't pose a concern. Veloy? Really? Is that so? Voksiv, doesn't the pasuk say, V'hikrev ha-koyin es ha-koyil, v'hikrev mizbecha. The koyin will bring everything over and be makta in the mizbech. And what is this referring to? Obama Meir, we learned, zoy lochase evarim lekevesh. It's a reference to transporting the parts of the behemoth, of the carbon, over to the kevesh. Apparently that too is considered to be a avoida. Therefore, chatzitza would interfere. Elohim rather says a say as follows. They spread the salt for the sake of the kohanim transporting the logs over to the wood arrangement on the mizbech. That certainly is not really considered a true avoida. In that case, a chatzitza would not pose a concern. So, when it comes to spreading salt, theoretically, we can have three concerns. number one, a Shabbos concern, for the fact that he's smoothing out the surface of the ground, evening out the pits, a Shavuya Gumais, which is considered an avoida. However, in this case, where he's not being mevatalit to the ground, that's not considered to be binyan. So that concern is off the table. What about the fact that he's adding to the pre-existing structure, to the changing the design of the kevish? Here as well, if he's not being mevatalit, it's not becoming an integral part of the structure, and there's no concern. And finally, why he doesn't oppose the chatzitza? Because it's going to be used specifically in a non-avoida context. Dorash Ravas Rav announced, Choshenus and Skalkal of Meme Gishonim. This is the Brice we learned earlier. A chatzah which experienced an influx of rainwater, maybe Tevin Umiradaba. He brings some hay, spreads it over the water to absorb it. How can you allow this to be done in all circumstances? Vatanya, haven't we learned in a Brice, Kshumurada, when he spreads the hay over the water, he meant to do it in a very specific manner. Differently than the way it's ordinarily done during the week. Eina meradale besavle bekupe, he can't spread his hay, pouring it from a basket, from a box, which is the way it's done during the weekday. It's derech choil. Rather, you meant to deviate, do it differently than the weekday manner. Ela beshuli kupa, you can spread it using the bottom of the box. Rashi says that the bottom which broke off on the box. So fill that, use that to transport the hay and spill it out, which is different than the way it's ordinarily done. So we have to be careful not to do it in a weekday manner. So how can you just allow it to be done in any manner? So when Rava heard this, Hadar Oikim Rava Amor Ale. So Rava went ahead and he repositioned the announcer in front of him, Vidarash, and he told him to convey the following message. Dvarim Shamarti Lefneichem Tos Hen Biyadi. The words which I have told you earlier were an error. V'ram, rather, kach amru mishum Reb Lezer. The following was said in the name of Reb Lezer. K'shu'ukshu marde, when he spreads the tevin, eina merade lebit salva lebekup. He shouldn't do it, spilling it out of the basket or the box, alushu lekupa, rather using the bottom of the broken box, which indicates that it's different than the weekday activity. He's doing it Shabbosdik, and only in that manner is a mutter. Okay, so conclusion. Regarding spreading some type of substance to avoid slippage, so it depends what we're using. If it's salt, then outside the Midrash you can't do it because there's a concern that perhaps he's going to be mevatlet it, which will result in a malacha. So even if he has no such intention, there's a shvus which disallows that. The shvus doesn't apply in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's allowed, provided he's not going to mevatlet, provided it's only being used in a non-avoid context. For instance, the transportation of the logs to the Mizbeach, which is not avoided, and therefore there's no chatzitza concern. Tevin can be spread whether in or out of the Beis HaMikdash, provided he does it derech shinoi, differently than the way it's ordinarily done. Continues the Gemara. Mimalon Mibar Agoyla, Mishnah told us, we can go ahead and use a galgal, this pulley system, to draw water from these very specific wells in the Beis HaMikdash, but it cannot be done outside the Beis HaMikdash. No more. Now we'll expound on this halach. Ula ikla libei Rav Menashe. Ula visited the home of Rav Menashe. Asa ugavra, so his fellow came along, taraf abava. He knocked on the door, and he produced a sound by doing so. Amar, so Ula responded, man hai, who is this fellow? Lischol gufei, his body should become desecrated. He should suffer punishment. Why? The kamacha leil Shabbat, because he's been chalos Shabbos, producing a sound on Shabbos. So Rabbi responded, that's not a concern, because it's a non-rhythmic sound. It's not a musical sound. Chacham only made an isser if he's producing a musical sound. But just a knock on the door without rhyme or rhythm, there's no concern there. Let's see Rashi inside. Down by the wide lines. So on the first wide line, it says Rashi, Taraf above, this fellow came along and knocked on the door. He knocked his fist on the door of Yishmiah Koil, and it resulted in a sound being produced. The Kamachal Shabbat, Su'ula was very dissatisfied. He's been Mechal Shabbos, the Kosavar, because Ula held, Kol Eiludi Kol Aser. Any sound which is produced, which emanates from a person's action is considered to be moilet koil and is also on Shabbos. Whereas Rabbah responded, no, it's only also bekoil shel shir. Hanishma kein shir. It sounds like a song, like music, b'ne'ima, b'nachas, pleasant, with rhythm, and it has that musical flavor to it. But just banging around is not considered to be usher. Apparently, Ula held that even if it's a non-musical sound, you can't produce sound on Shabbos. It's similar to the halacha that you can't produce a reyach on Shabbos. You can't produce any type of new entity on Shabbos. Chachamim did not allow a person to get involved in creating something anew, which appears like malacha. So just creating a sound, even if it's a non-musical sound, would be usher as well. Whereas Rabbah responded that actually the issue is not because he's producing something new. It's because he's getting involved in music. And Rashi Maseches Beitzah actually explains that there's a concern that this might lead him to go and adjust, repair a musical instrument to accompany him. So getting involved in creating music on Shabbos and Yom Tov is problematic due to the concern that it might lead him to get a musical instrument involved. And fixing a musical instrument can involve a malach. Therefore, says Rabbah, this halacha is strictly to a koil, shel, shir, a musical sound. Continues the Gemara in the first white line. Esvi abayisa abayi es akasha from a brayisa, which indicates that even a non-musical sound cannot be produced on Shabbos. Malin bidyupi. So one can go ahead and draw liquid out of a container using this dupi. Du is 2p mouths, meaning it's a siphon. It's a triangle-shaped double pipe. And you insert one of the tips into the container and you suck the air out of the other side. You draw the liquid up past the point, past the halfway point, and that creates a suction effect where the liquid gets drawn into the vacuum and proceeds to be emptied from the container. So one can engage in this procedure on Shabbos. Umatifin miyarek. Likewise, a person could drip some liquid out of this miyarek. Rashi describes this as some type of funnel where you would fill it with liquid. The bottom had a hole where it can drip out. And then you go uncover the top, which encourages the liquid to drip from the bottom. So you can do this l'chayla b'Shabbos for the sake of soothing and calming a unwell person. So you place a metal pan underneath the drip, and that dripping sound has a soothing effect for the unwell fellow, and perhaps this dripping sound applies to the first halacha as well, with a siphon, where we place something underneath and have the liquid drip out. In any case, the Brisa tells us this dripping sound is only allowed in the case of necessity for a chayla. L'chayla in, only for an unwell person, l'bari lay, but for a healthy person, you can't do that. Says the Marhechi Dami, what type of a sound are we speaking about? Lav, denayim, v'kaboy, delitar. Perhaps we're speaking that the chayla is asleep, and you're doing this to wake him up. So you're doing it pleasantly, in order not to frighten him. And we're speaking about a non-rhythmic sound, not a musical, not a beat or a tempo that's being produced. And still we say that it's only allowed for a chayla. Shma mina eludi kala asr. Apparently, producing any type of sound is asr on Shabbos. Says the Marloi, no, we're speaking about actually a rhythmic sound that's being produced. The tir, because this chayla is actually awake, because boy delinim. And we want him to fall asleep. He's trying to fall asleep, and this is a manner to get him to fall asleep by dripping this liquid in a rhythmic, musical fashion, the mishtama ke kolo de zamzumi, which will sound like the sound of these cymbals. So it has an instrumental sound to it. And that's what he's trying to do. And that's why we only allow for the chayla, but otherwise, it would be asr. Because we're speaking about a koil shal shir, but just a random sound, that would be mutter. By esem another kasha from a brayser, where once again, it seems that any type of sound production is asr on Shabbos. Hameshamer pereisav bnei oifes. The person is securing his produce, protecting them from the birds, or the love bnei achaya, or his pumpkins from the animals. Meshamer kedaka b'Shabbos. So you can watch them in the manner which he's accustomed to watching, could do it on a Shabbos without any concern. Ubavad, shlei is sapik, provided he doesn't clap his hands to produce sound to scare off the animals, v'leitapeach, or bangs his hand on his body, on his heart, v'leiraket, or dances to create sound, k'derech shein oisin b'chol, the way he does it during weekdays. My time, what is the reason? Lav de k'moilet koila, apparently, because sound production is asur. B'cholay ludi kala asur. This fellow who's producing a sound is asur because you're not allowed to produce sound on Shabbos, even if it's a non-musical sound. Amar v'achavar Yaakov, no! It's nothing to do with sound production. The reason here is gzera shamiyitol tsrer. We're concerned if he gets overly involved in keeping the animals at bay, perhaps he'll pick up a pebble and toss it for amis into shesrabim and do a malach. Says the Gemara, Ve'ela ha tamar vidom rav. But if that's the case, how are we going to understand the statement that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav? Noshim ha-masach kois be'goizim. Women who are engaged in playful activity of rolling these nuts across the floor, asar, they can't do that on Shabbos. Why? My time, why? Lav the kamoilet kala. Apparently because they're producing a sound when the which is produced by the nuts colliding with each other. And sound production on Shabbos is asur, even if it's a non-musical, non-sing-song sound. Says the Gemara, no, actually not. The concern is not due to sound production, but rather because they might be tempted to smooth out this uneven floor to enhance their activity, to enhance their game. And therefore, they can't engage in this type of activity because a shvui gumis is certainly a malacha. Because if you don't follow this approach and attribute this reason to the halacha, how are you going to understand the following halacha? Ha damar v'yuda. Where v'yuda tells us, noshem masachis v'tabuchim. Aser. Likewise, if women are engaged in rolling apples playfully, they can't do that as well. Now, aser may iludi kol ikka over there, what type of sound is being produced? Apparently, the collision of the apples doesn't produce much of a sound, and there's no sound production, so why would it be asur? Ella, rather, we prove from here, the concern is unrelated to sound production, but rather, dilma asur l'shvi gumayis, the concern that they might go ahead and smooth out this uneven floor to enable for their game. Tanan, we learned in our very Mishnah, memalin b'bora goyla, u'bora godol b'galgol b'shabbos. Our Mishnah tells us that when it comes to filling water, you can only draw with a pulley system, a galgal, if the bor is in the Beis HaMikdash, like the Bor HaGoyla, the Bor HaGodol, the Mikdash in, only strictly in the Beis HaMikdash. We allow for that. The Medina Lay, but not outside of it. What is the reason that you can't fill with a wheel on Shabbos? My time, why? Lav Mishum Da'iludi Kol of Asr. Apparently because it's creating a sound, it's a creaking of this pulley. You know, the Gemara Talmud tells us that when they would lower the kier, bring the kier up from the bar using this pulley, the creaking sound can be heard all the way to the town of Yericho, which was very far from Yerushalayim. So apparently that's a concern due to the coil that's being produced. So in the Beis HaMikdash, the Chacham did away with the Shavuos, but outside the Beis HaMikdash, you can't do that. Apparently even a non-sing-song sound, even a creaking sound, can't be produced on Shabbos. So the Gemara, no, loy, has nothing to do with that. The reason why you can't use a pulley system to draw water on Shabbos is on account of another concern, gzeira shemiyam mali ligi nasa l'chervasai. We're concerned due to the fact that this pulley system makes it very, very convenient drawing of water, of large quantities of water. You may be tempted to actually draw water and use it for its farming purposes, which is a malach on Shabbos. Let's see Rashi all the way on the bottom. The bottom line, uludi kola. So we figure that using the pulley system creates a sound, shagalgal mashmir koil, this pulley system produces a sound. And what it says, actually, it's unrelated. Rather, the concern is gzeru shami yamali ganasi. He might fill some water to use it for his garden. Why? Since it makes very easy and convenient use. Asel hashkas by bigi nasi v'chavasi b'shabbos. He may come to actually draw large quantities and use it to water his garden. It was churva, which was a ruins, and there are some plants planted there. So in any case, he's going to use it for his farming purposes, which is a malacha. Continues the Gemara, three lines from the bottom. Ameimar shara limimla the Gilgal of a Mechayza. A Memar allowed the residents of Mechayza to draw water from a well using this Galgal. Omar, my time, a Gazer Rabban. What was the basis for the Gzer of the Rabbanon? If a concern that a person may fill large quantities to be used for his farming purposes, for the Gina and the Churva. Now in Mechayza, which is an urban area, Hacha over here, like Gina, like Churva, we don't have these farming areas, and therefore there's no concern. However, Kivan the Kachaza, the Kataruba Kitna, once I may have noticed that during the weekdays, they were engaged in an activity of soaking the flax in water. Asalu. Now he figured we don't allow them to draw water using a galga because since it allows for easy and convenient drawing of large quantities, perhaps they're going to use it even on Shabbos for soaking of flax, which is a malacha, and therefore he disallowed the use of the pulley system on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Be'erakar. Mishnah told us that not only can you draw water using a galgal from these water holes in the Beis HaMikdash, but you can also draw water with a galgal from the Be'er HaKar, provided that it's on Yom Tov. The Gemara will explain the context of this halacha. My Be'er HaKar, what exactly is this Be'er HaKar? Omar Shmuel. Boer Shehikru Aleha Dvarim Vituro. It's a boer where many words were applied. There was much debate going on to allow its use out of necessity, and at the end they actually allowed its use, meaning they allowed to use a pulley system to draw large quantities from this very specific boer, as the Gemara soon will explain why. So Be'er HaKar, HaKar, Rashi says, Hikru is Lashon Kriya, calling out. They applied arguments and debates till they finally allowed use of this Be'er with a galgal on Yom Tov. Meisvei. We have a kash from a braisa which says, Loikala boeris hakoris etiru. They didn't allow all types of boeris hakoris. Only this one is specific. Now, if kar, koiris, hikru is in reference to a very specific well, due to the fact that there was debate going on, there were discussions about it, what does the braisa mean? They didn't allow all the boeris hakoris, only this one. There's only one in existence. If the meaning of hakar is because they applied words to it, my zubuvat, what does the braisa mean? They didn't allow all the other ones except for this one. There was only one in existence. Ella Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak, actually, hakar doesn't mean debates and discussions. Rather, it means be'er mayim chayim. It's referring to a well which draws from its own source. It's a spring of water. So Rashi explains that kahakir means it's a water source. It's a fresh spring. Kahakir is a lashon of mokar, of a source. So Be'er HaKar is referring to a fresh spring. It was a water hole, but wasn't just a containment of water. It was actually a source of water. So now we understand the braisa that this allowance wasn't applied to all boiris, which were spring water. It was only to this specific one, as the Gemara right now will explain, Gufa, so we just learned, Loikala boiris hakaris hetiru. They didn't allow drawing in this manner from all these types of wells. Elazoi bilvad, only this one is specific. Why? Kshaolo b'nei ha-goyla. Because when the Klai Yisrael came up from Golas, and they came to be oyle regla on Yom Tov to Yerushalayim, there was a dire need for water, a lack of proper water supply. Chano aleha. So the Yidden encamped next to this bear, and out of necessity, the Neviim which were amongst them, Rashi says, referring to Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, apply a special heter, allow them to draw large quantities using the pulley system out of necessity. Now, once that heter was applied, we know the Chacham don't rescind a heter which was applied, and therefore that heter remained throughout all time. And it wasn't only specific to this specific era where the Nevi'im allowed it, but that had to remain even beyond Ela Minig Avos and Biyadim. The custom of their tradition of their ancestors remained on their hands, meaning they continued with this heter all throughout. And therefore, the Mishnah tells us you can draw from this specific bar even using a pulley system, provided it's on Yom Tov, because the original heter was only a heter for the sake of Yom Tov, so that specific heter remains throughout. So in conclusion, the second part of the Mishnah allowed us to draw with a galgal, a pulley system, a wheel, provided it's in the Beis HaMikdash. But otherwise you cannot, and the reason is because we're concerned due to the convenience. He might go ahead and use it for his farming purposes. And the Mishnah concluded that likewise you can draw water with a galgal from this very specific Be'er HaKar. You can do this on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos, because the original Heter was for this specific Be'er and specifically for Yom Tov. Continues the Mishnah. Sheret Shinimsa B'Migdash. We know that a person who is Tamei may not enter the Beis HaMikdash. Likewise, a person can't bring a Kli, which is Tamei. Certainly cannot introduce a Sheret, one of the eight creatures, which when they die, they are Tamei, they impart Tumah. So these things may not be found in Beis HaMikdash. And when they're there, one is obligated to remove them. Says the Mishnah, Sheret Shinimsa B'Migdash, a Sheret which was found in the Beis HaMikdash, a dead Sheret, and we're speaking about on Shabbos. Once again, this is the context of Ein Shavus B'Migdash, so all of the Sheret is Mokts. We can go ahead and remove it from the Beis HaMikdash, even on Shabbos, because the Chacham suspended the Issur Shavus for the sake of the Beis HaMikdash. So how do we go about it? Says the Mishnah, Koyin Meitziyoy B'Myonay. The Kohen should remove the Sheret using his belt. So although he's actually making the Beged, the Big Day Kuhuna, which is Kaddish, he's making a Tameh by having it come into contact with the Sheret. So certainly he himself needs to avoid touching the Sheret as a Kohen, but we prefer that he takes his belt and uses it as a vehicle to remove the Sheret. Why should Lo Yilashai Sesatumah? So as not to have the Tumah linger here. So although he's increasing Tumah, but it's more important to get rid of the Tumah as soon as possible, even at the expense of making his belt Tumah. Divrei Rabbi Yechim and Brick. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Wait around until you find the proper vehicle, proper utensil, to remove the Sheretz. But special eights, wait until you find a wooden tongue, a wooden pliers, which is not going to be Mekabel Tumah, it doesn't have a clay kibble. So rather, wait for that, then use your belt, shloi l'rabes is a tumah, in order to avoid increasing tumah. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the factor of containment overrides the factor of expediting the removal of the tumah, whereas according to Rabbi Yechon Breker, doing it quickly is more important than containment. So even though he's going to be a tumah, his belt in the process, we're not concerned with that, as long as he gets rid of the tumah at the earliest opportunity. Continues the Mishnah. Okay, so we found the sherets in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, and we do away with muktzah in order to remove these sherets. Now, where in the Beis HaMikdash was the sherets found? We know that the Mishnah in Kalim, beginning of Masechas Kalim, describes various degrees of kedusha which were found in different areas of the Beis HaMikdash. So the question is, what justifies muktzah? Where is the sheretz found? Anywhere in the Beis HaMikdash, or perhaps in the most kaddish part of the Beis HaMikdash? Meichem itzin oisai, from where, from which location within the Beis HaMikdash can you remove the sheretz on Shabbos, even at the expense of muktzah? So we have machlekes. If it's found in the Hechel, mina ulam from the ulam, which was before the Hechel, or mina ulam and mizbeach, or even if it's between the mizbeach and the ulam, which contains a higher level, a higher degree of kedusha, divrei Rav Shimon ben Aras, according to him, only in these locations. But if it's beyond that, meaning it's further out, for instance, in the Azara, the fact that the Azara has a lower degree of kedusha, due to that, we don't allow, doesn't justify doing muktzah to remove these sherets. Rukiva Omer, he says, even in the Azara. So even if it's there, that justifies muktzah, you meant to remove it on Shabbos. Kol makam shechayavin azdoine kuris. Anywhere within the Beis HaMikdash, meaning even including the Azara, which is a place where if a person is tamei who enters that area, what happens? He's liable to kuris if he does it bezadim, bemezid, willingly. And if it's b'shegig, he brings a chatas. So from any of those areas, they have enough degree and level of Kedusha that requires him to remove these shares, even on Shabbos, Misham Matzin Oise. So according to Rekiva, that includes even the Azor. According to Shimon Bananas, Azor is not included in this allowance. Ushor Kal Makaymis, if the shares was found anywhere else, meaning whether it's in the Azor according to the first Shita, or in other areas of the Beis HaMikdash, for instance, in the Lishkais, in the side rooms, according to Rekiva, which possess a lower degree of Kedusha. In that case, we don't allow Muktzah to be overridden for the sake of removal of the Sheretz. Rather, you leave it there, Kaifanel of Psachler, you overturn it, bowl, to contain it, prevent others from touching it. You leave it until Matzah Shabbos, and then you remove the Sheretz. Concludes the Mishnah. Reb Shimon Oimer, Mokim Sheir Tiril HaChachamim. Whenever the Chacham allowed you, Mishal Chanos Nloch, they granted something which really belonged to you. Shalai Tiril Lacha El Mishm Shvus, because they only allowed you when it's based on a Shvus. This seemingly cryptic statement of Shimon is really unrelated to the first part of the Mishnah, and we expound it upon in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Omar Av Tavi Bar Kisna, Omar Shmuel, Hamachnes, Tmei Sheretz L'Migdash Chayev. A person should bring something which came into contact with the Sheretz, a Kli which touched the Sheretz, which in itself becomes an Avatuma, a Rishon L'Tuma. If a person brings it into the Beis HaMikdash, he's Chayev. Rashi says it's chayv echatas or kares. The Hagoyis Hagro, the Vilna Gaon on the side, says evidently it's a mistake because it's very clear from other areas that even Rashi himself writes other places that at most is only a chayv malchus. So in any case, if a person brings this thing which is tamei into the Beis HaMikdash, it's chayv. That's something which came into contact with the sheretz. But sheretz atzmai potter. Should he bring the actual sheretz itself in the Beis HaMikdash? He's potter. So in HaTorah, there's no chiv to even remove the sheretz from the Beis HaMikdash. In the Rabbanan there is, but there's no chiv in HaTorah. And if a person does, it doesn't get an einish. That's interesting that the source of Tumah itself seems to have a leniency, which the item which received Tumah from that source doesn't have. So it seems that the thing that came into contact with the Tumah, to which the Tumah extended itself to, that represents the activation, the extension of the Tumah, whereas the Sheretz itself is just the dormant entity, and in a way it's more lenient than the Kli which took the Tumah over from him. We find a similar concept in the Gemara Psachim Nav Samach Tes Amanal, that a person can bring the mace itself into the Machne Leviyah, into the place where the Levim camped, as we know that Moshe Rabbein brought the Atzmais Yosef to the Machne Leviyah, but a person that came into contact with the mace must leave the Machne Leviyah. So we see that the mace itself, the source of Tumah, has a leniency which the Tumah mace doesn't have. Okay, so that's Shmuel's Chiddush, that the Sheretz itself, Min HaTorah, does not entail Chiv. A person brings it in, he doesn't get an Einish, and there's no Chiv to remove it. My timer. So what's the reason for this? Meaning, what's the source? Where do we find a marker to this halach from a pasuk amakra? The pasuk says, the pasuk is speaking about getting rid of things which are tamei, sending them out of the Beis HaMikdash, mizachar and nekeva, whether a man or woman, to shalecha, you meant to send them out when they're tamei. And we learn from here that it only applies to something which is similar in nature to a human being. Mi sheyesh l'tahar b'mikvah, only something which has the ability to become tahar by immersion in the mikvah. For instance, a person. So since he has that ability, he has a stringent form of tumah, which can be removed by going to the mikvah, that represents a higher level of tumah, and has to be sent away from the Beis HaMikdash. Yotzeh sheretz she'en lo tahara, as opposed to a sheretz who cannot become tar. There's no way to be matar the sheretz. And therefore, is not included in this requirement, does not need to be sent away from the Beis HaMikdash. So that's Shmuel's Chiddush. Perhaps we can have a raya to support Shmuel's halacha from the following braisa, which says mizochar nekeva teshalechu. This is that pasuk we just mentioned. Prat lekli cheres, it's coming to rule out a kli cheres, an earthenware keli. Diveri seglili, he maintains that it's dissimilar to a person, and therefore does not need to be sent away from the Beis HaMikdash. Minater. My time. What's the reason for this? Lavishum de lesli tahar b'mikvah. Apparently, it's because the Kli Cheres does not have the ability to become Tor by being placed in a mikvah. The only way to be metare cheres is by breaking it. So therefore, since it's not similar to an adam, to a zachar and a keva, which have the ability to be tevel in a mikvah, therefore the kli cheres does not have this requirement to be sent away from the Beis HaMikdash, and likewise the sheretz, who also doesn't possess this option, this ability of tahara in a mikvah, does not have to be sent out from the Beis HaMikdash. So this is a support to Shmuel. So the Gemara lie, no. Actually, the reason why we exclude kli cheres is not due to its deficiency for lack of ability to be tevel in a mikvah, but rather it's due to a different dissimilarity between itself and the person. Mishanasa avatuma. Just as in Zohar Nekeva, which are sent out of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's because they can become a stringent form of tami and avatuma. Yotze klicheres, as opposed to klicheres, sheinasa avatuma, which can never become, can never attain this high level of tuma, where she explains the background of this halacha. A cheres can never, never become a avatuma. And since it doesn't have that ability to attain this high level of tumah, it's dissimilar to a person, and does not have the same chiyuv, the same din. The natar does not have to be sent out of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's specific to kli cheres, as opposed to a sheretz, which certainly has already attained and achieved this high level of tumah. It is in itself an avat tumah. So perhaps it needs to be sent out of the Beis HaMikdash. There's no raya to Shmuel's halacha. Le'miketanoi, perhaps this halacha of Shmuel is actually dependent on a machlokes tanoim found in our mission. The mission says sheretz shems b'migdash, a sheretz which was located in the Beis HaMikdash. We went to remove it even on Shabbos. We override the Isser Muktzah. And how do we go about removing the sheretz? We have machlekes. The first shita says koyin moitzia b'yam yanai. The koyin is meant to remove it using his belt if he has no other alternative. Shelo l'shai says atuma, in order not to have the tuma linger around. So according to him, it appears that there's a real chiyuv min haTorah to remove the sheretz, and that's why we do it even at the expense of furthering the tumah, increasing the tumah, making his belt tummy. So apparently Rabbi Yechim Breike holds that indeed there is a chiyuv to remove the sheretz, and that's why we override the fact that he's going to be metame the avid, increase the tumah, that fact is overridden in the face of the requirement to remove the sheretz. That's his shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'tzva shel eitz moitziyoi. Wait around until you find this wooden tongue and use it to remove the sheretz. Shel the rabbis the tumah, in order not to increase tumah, to expand the tumah. Apparently he holds it's not so crucial. The removal of the sheretz is not really mandated min haTorah, and therefore, although midrabbanan meant to remove it, but wait around until you can do it properly. My lav v'kamiflagi. Perhaps this is indeed the basis of the machlokes. Demand amar shloi l'shais. The first shita which says, use your belt in order not to have the tumah linger around any further. He holds it so important to expedite the removal of the sheretz, because kasavra he holds a machnas sheretz the mikdash chayiv. A person should bring the sheretz into the mikdash chayiv. So the Torah is mandated to go remove it as soon as possible, even at the expense of increasing tumah. This is unlike Shmuel's halach. Uman the Amar. However, the other shita Rabbi holds shul rabbis at tumah. Wait around until you can find the tongue. Don't increase tumah. He holds kasavar hamachnas sheretz the mikdash pata. Should a person bring their sheretz to the Beis HaMikdash, she's potter. So since it isn't really such a chiyuv, there's no chiyuv at all in haTorah to remove the sheretz. Therefore, it's not important enough for us to allow him to go ahead and be metame his belt. Rather, wait around until he can do it properly. So evidently, the question of whether there's a chiyuv in haTorah to remove the sheretz from the Beis HaMikdash or not is actually a machlokes tanoim. So the Gemara lo, actually, it's unrelated. The Kuli Alma Chayiv perhaps all agree that if a person brings a sheretz into Beis HaMikdash, she's Chayiv, unlike Shmuel Shita. And indeed, there is a very firm obligation to go and remove that sheretz as soon as possible. So, what is the basis of the machlokes in the Mishnah? V'hocha b'ka miflagi. The machlokes is as follows. It's a broad and general machlokes. What's more important? What takes priority? Expediting of the removal or containment of the tumah? Marsover Shehuya Tumadif. Rabbi Yehuda holds, we prefer that he leave the tumah around. Wait. In order not to increase and expand the tumah. Wait until you find a wooden utensil to remove it properly. That's more important. Contain the tumah. Takes priority. Umar Sava Fushi Tumah Adif. However, Rabbi Yechim holds that increasing the tumah is actually preferred, although it's at the expense of increasing tumah. That's better than having it sit around for a while and increasing the time, the duration of the tumah. So it's a general question. What's more important? What takes priority? Expedition of removal or containment of the tumah? Or perhaps all agree that one is chayav to remove the sheretz from the Beis HaMikdash min hatur. So in summary, we learned that if a person finds a sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash, he's meant to remove it even on Shabbos. Now, in what manner does he remove it? We have a machlekes. According to Rabbi Yechon Breika, he removes it using his belt. Because although he's increasing tumah, rather than do that, then have the tumah linger around and increase the duration of the tumah. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, wait until you find the tzvas shel eitz, which is not makabel tumah. Do it properly in order not to increase tumah. That's more important than doing it quickly. We learned that on Shabbos, you can remove the sheretz, despite the fact that it's muktzah. Now, where in the Beis HaMikdash is the sheretz located, which would justify overriding muktzah for this purpose? By machlekes. According to Rishon Benanas, well, in the Hechel, the Ulam, but not the Azara. According to Rakiva, even the Azara. And we learned that if a person brings something which is tummy into the Beis HaMikdash, he's chayev, and he's required to remove it. But that only applies to an item that can become an avatuma, as opposed to klicheres, which cannot become an avatuma. According to Shmuel, only applies to something which can become taran and mikvah, as opposed to the actual sheretz itself, which doesn't have that feature, and therefore there's no chayev for bringing it into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We learned about three different types of Isurei Derabbanan, Shvus, which were not applied in the Beis HaMikdash. We learned about spreading salt over the ramp. We learned about drawing water using this pulley system. And finally, removing the sheretz, which is muktzah, from the Beis HaMikdash. All these three things are allowed because Ein Shvus v'Mikdash. Okay, let's begin discussing the first halacha, spreading some sort of substance over the floor to avoid slippage. So when it comes to using salt, that cannot be used outside the Beis HaMikdash. We're concerned that he might be mevatel it there. And by evening out the uneven floor, he's doing binyan. In the Beis HaMikdash, he can use it, provided he's not being mevatel it. And they're only using it in the context of a non-avoida activity, like bringing the Eitzim to the Mizbeach, and therefore there's no chatzitza concern. Tevin, you can spread regardless, whether in or out of the Beis HaMikdash, provided he does it a bit differently than the way it's done during the week. Let's proceed to the next halacha regarding drawing water with this galgal. So Gemara tells us that although the isser of producing sound on Shabbos only pertains to a koil shel shir, a musical sound, a rhythm, a beat, but just a non-musical sound being produced is not considered to be usser. So the reason why you can't draw water with this galgal is not due to the creaking sound emanating from the pulley system. Rather, the Gemara tells us there's another concern that perhaps due to the convenience involved, he may inadvertently draw a large quantity of water and use it for his farming purposes, which is a malacha. Therefore, this Issa Derabban, the Shvus, applies to any bear, any burr outside the Beis HaMikdash. However, in the Beis HaMikdash itself, the Shvus was not applied. We learned about another type of bear, this bear akar, where there was a special heter on Yom Tov. And finally, we learned about removing the sheretz, which was found in Beis HaMikdash. We have machlekes regarding the exact manner, which way he's meant to remove it, whether using his belt, whether waiting for the tzvas shel eitz to contain the tumah. And then we concluded that actually the machlekes here is revolving around the question of what's preferred, expediting the removal, speed, or the containment of the tumah.